Welcome to another TNIB special. It is the second week of June, and that means it's time for E3. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this week, in this edition, we are talking about Microsoft and their recent E3 press conference. I think leading up to this show, a big hype was a bit around the system of the Scorpio, Microsoft's latest and greatest Xbox system, and I believe this is the event where they promised to show us just what they had planned. Mm-hmm. And boy, show us they did.
They showed us that they are no strangers to abbreviation nightmares,
mm-hmm.
because they revealed the new name of the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Xbox One X.
Yes.
And if you abbreviate that, it's Xbox.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Now when I'm talking to people, it's going to be, hey, you play this Xbox game.
Yeah.
Do you mean the one? Do you mean the original? Do you mean the new thing?
Yeah.
Like, God damn it.
Yeah, it's confusing. But when they showed out all the names, like the other one is called the Xbox One S.
Yeah.
And when I see S and X, I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that makes sense. I would have loved if they called it the Xbox One Perfect Edition.
Oh, or Ultimate.
Yeah.
I think calling it the Xbox One X is a very Japanese naming convention.
Yes.
Right? The Xbox One Cross.
Oh, what if the next one is Double X?
Oh, it'd be great.
Yeah. Jeez. So they showed it off. They spat out some numbers. Seems pretty cool.
Yeah, so they went through, like, all the tech aspects of it.
Yeah.
They're using, I think they said it was, like, DDR5 RAM.
Yeah, which is 12 like, gigs of that.
Just, like, bleeding edge RAM tech. Mm-hmm. And pretty much it seems like it's just super powerful PC parts that they jammed into this really custom console architecture.
It's liquid cooled.
Yeah, like liquid vapor,
cooled.
It said?
Yeah, first console to do that.
Yeah. As a brand new power supply system.
Yeah.
It's like evenly distributing power throughout the motherboard.
Yeah. And it's all doing this and putting it in an even smaller package than these pretty tiny Xbox One S.
It's the small, quote, the smallest Xbox console to date.
Yeah. It's not PS2 Slim levels of small.
Man, that'd be crazy.
But it looks like it's around the size of a PS1. Like the original PS1.
Yeah.
That's what I think that's where I put it at.
Not original PS2?
No, I don't know if it's that long.
Hmm. Yeah, they didn't have a good comparison shot.
Yeah.
They just had the two splash images. They didn't have like a model.
Maybe the original PS2, but every time I pick up the original PS2, it's a lot bigger than I remember.
Especially if you have the network adapter in the back.
It's not a tiny system from
No,
what
it's
I can
it's,
recall.
It's not. As someone who just had to bring that to someone's house, it's not small.
Yeah. So that's cool. And then they didn't really show off any other details beyond that.
Yeah, they showed off that stuff later in the show.
Yeah. They just went into games.
Mm-hmm. And first off, we saw... I like how we both had the same thought. Yo, this desert looks too nice.
Yeah.
It's gotta be a racing game.
Yeah.
And it was Forza.
Yeah.
Forza 7.
Yeah.
And also, we're like, damn, 7.
Yeah.
They've surpassed Gran Turismo.
Yeah, where are you, GT?
Yeah. They're too busy, like, putting microphones under exhausts.
Yeah. So the new Forza looks pretty... Well, it looks like a Forza game.
It looks like a Forza game.
I think the problem here is that when it comes to 4K and all the things they're trying to tout, like HDR and the full RGB spectrum, it's like, that stuff is great, but you will only be able to experience that kind of stuff in person, I think, over a stream.
Yeah.
It's impossible to tell the difference, because I honestly, all the things they showed to me look like what I'm used to.
Yeah, it looks like the...
Yeah.
A racing car game, and like where I'm at a point now where I can never tell if this new iteration actually is better looking than the old one, just based off of videos.
Yeah, it's something you have to see in person and play, so I'll give them the benefit of the doubt for this, but what I'll say as a racing game fan and as a Forza fan, they put in weather effects.
Yep.
And
dynamic, they have like dynamic rain and puddles now.
And day and night cycles, so... Yeah. That's all I really wanted from Forza, and they put it in.
True Le Mans racing.
Yes. You could actually do the 24 hours now without it being daylight for 24 hours.
24 hours, yeah.
So that's cool. And they changed the driver model to be a female.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Or at least they changed it within the trailer.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
They might give you the option within the
game. Oh, I'm sure they will, but the marketing push definitely puts it at female first.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And then finally, they said Porsche respects us so much, they let us reveal their newest car here at
the stage. Yeah, they had a car commercial
in the
middle.
They're like, yo, check out the latest 911 GT2 RS, the most powerful 911 ever.
And let's just have a little side conversation. That looks like a 911. Like, it's not really looking like anything else.
To be fair, all 911. Look the same.
Yeah.
And they kind of have to because of it's like the Beetle, right?
Yeah.
You can't really change it. It's
that's fine.
It's what it is.
I guess.
Yeah.
So Forza. Would you rather play this over Project Cars 2?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I've played based on what Project Cars is offering,
yeah.
I just like that style of racing game better, and I like the way the first Project Cars felt. It just felt so great.
Second question, as a racing game fan, do you even care about Gran Turismo Sport anymore?
No.
Damn.
No.
Savage.
No.
All right. So next up, they showed a new Metro game.
Oh, yeah.
They showed the new Metro game. It looks really nice.
That game looks cool.
Going from sewers to outside, and this very conveniently timed train to pick you up.
I like, they put small little touches into this gameplay footage. It was really cool.
Mm.
Like, at the beginning, he sees a clip
with
bullets. But instead of just picking it up, he checks his gun first to see how many bullets he has. And then he takes it out, puts it down, and picks up the other one.
Yeah.
And, like, I like touches like that. It just makes the sense of immersion just a bit higher.
Yeah, I think earlier in our podcast, like, that is the reason we really liked the Killzone games.
Yeah.
Just because of that level of just, like, oh, the reload is, like, long, but it's, like, so detailed and realistic and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But have you played any of the previous Metro games?
2033 was the first one?
Yes, 2033.
I haven't beat it. I'm, like, maybe three quarters through. I really liked it. I can't remember why I stopped playing it.
Okay.
But I heard the next one was better.
Last Light?
Last Light, Lost Light, something like that.
But the thing for me is I never played those games, but when Metro came out, I had just finished two Stalker games. And I'm like, these look like the same game. So I'm kind of out for that.
I did play the ones on... Oh, they were remastered for the Xbox One?
Mm-hmm.
Or PlayStation 4, one of those. Like the Redux.
Yeah, they had the Redux versions.
I played that. That's what I played.
Okay. After this, they showed Assassin's Creed.
Origins.
Yeah, Origins. I'm going to let you take this because I'm just going to poop on it. So.
No, I mean, it's Assassin's Creed. It's in Egypt. It's the first assassin. Yeah. And they show some cool newer features. Like, they have the whole, when you shoot a bow in midair, like from Zelda, in First Soul's Time, you can control the eagle and use him as a scout.
Yep.
But otherwise, it's a lot of the samey sort of Assassin's Creed mechanics.
You're running on walls, running through trees.
Yeah. The only thing that I think is interesting about this is prior Assassin's Creed games, they prided themselves on recreating historical architecture and, like...
towns.
Like point-for-point identical city layout.
Yeah.
With Egypt and stuff, they don't have that. So it makes it so that their cities, instead of having to make fun gameplay environments surrounded around... a real environment. They could just make whatever they want.
Okay.
So that idea excites me, but it's another Assassin's Creed and I just don't really care.
Okay, same. I saw that and my eyes immediately rolled into the back of my head.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of done with Assassin's Creed as a franchise. Yeah. Like, loot is not the thing that game needed.
Oh yeah, loot. Yeah.
It's like, oh look, I found a better bow with better stats. And like, this is not what you needed to make this game better. You needed it. For me personally, Assassin's Creed needs a coherent through line.
Yeah.
And as soon as I finished Assassin's Creed 3, I was like, this through line's gone and it's gone off the rails. And then I hear just like all the meta narrative within 4 was crazy.
Yeah.
So that's really the only thing I cared about. Now that it's for sure not there, I'm just probably going to check out it.
Yeah, the cool. They brought boat combat back from Black Flag, so that's cool. But yeah, for me, Assassin's Creed, you know what? A lot of it has to do with the setting. And I love, as much as, like, I'm so disappointed to hear that it was bad, but, like, I really wanted to play the one that was based in France.
Syndicate?
No, that was
Britain.
Unity.
Unity, okay.
Unity. I really wanted to play that, but I heard it was bad, so I never did. And even Syndicate I wanted to play because it was based in England.
And I heard that was pretty good.
Yeah, but I haven't got around to it, so, yeah.
It's Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
I don't know if you will. The next one I want to talk about, just because I think it's a really good business pickup for Microsoft, which is the console rights to PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Super cool.
The hottest Steam game. If you haven't seen this game yet, go on Twitch. It's probably the second highest Steamed rated or streamed game right now in terms of viewers.
Yeah.
It's a really fun, like, battle royale, first-person shooter, third-person shooter thing.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool. I just thought that was a really smart business move.
Definitely.
From them.
Yeah.
Then I have Agrippa games here that I said, quote, probably won't play.
Yeah.
Which is Deep Dark Galactic, the dwarves Minecraft game.
Yeah, no.
State of Decay 2.
I will play that.
Will you?
Yeah, that game's cool.
Okay. And The Darwin Project.
Nope.
Which was the Hunger Games, where people in the chat can give you power-ups.
Yeah, no.
So I want to know, what's your thought on like these arena-based competitive games where a Twitch chat or a chat of some sort can power up a player?
I think it's really cool.
Do you?
I think it's a cool idea.
You don't think it like ruins the purity of the competition?
No, I
don't.
No, I think it's I think that's where the future's headed. I think it because then you can't rely on your skill alone.
But then that would take I would think that would take the fun out of watching a certain game.
I don't know.
On a competitive level. The whole thing is that these people are the best of the best. And if you throw in a wild card, like, just well-timed power-ups from a crowd.
I think, I don't know, I'm into it. I mean, like, every time people watch sports, like basketball or football, you're always rooting for your team or your favorite player. Imagine you could help them out.
Again, I think that would...
Yes, it would totally invalidate the quote-unquote purity of the sport, but at the end of the day, is it a sport or is it entertainment? And like that's where a lot of sports are finding themselves in nowadays. And I think that this is not really a video game that's like on a super competitive level, and I think
that's true.
It just seems like a fun little thing to do.
Yeah, in this specific game, it's not like super egregious.
Yeah.
But like when you bring it to like, here's the NBA.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was something silly, like they brought back Slam Ball, and it's like, oh, the crowd voted so that these people's trampolines now work. Yeah. Like, that'd be some silly fun.
Yeah.
The next up they have is, after that last announcement, I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's up there.
Yeah.
New Dragon Ball Z game.
It looks fucking amazing.
Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Title, man.
It's fantastic. It's great. It's simple. It's to the point.
I opened up my Twitter earlier this morning, and I saw this.
Yeah.
And the first thing I saw was the Drake meme.
The Drake meme?
Where, like, the first one, he's got that look of, like, no.
Oh, that one.
To MVC3.
Yeah.
And then the next one, he's like, with Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yes.
And I was like, what is this?
Yeah. So, well, this game, it looks nuts. So, it's made by Arc Systems. Arc Systems, if you don't know, makes BlazBlue and Guilty Gear.
Yeah.
They are known for being kind of the hardest or the most complex fighters to get into recently.
Yeah.
But they are making this new Dragon Ball Z game with their Guilty Gear graphics engine, which is the thing that makes 3D models look 2D.
Yeah.
It's really nice. And it's 3-on-3 Marvel.
Yeah.
It looks so cool. yep. You brought up a good point, though, of do you think that it will... Arc System works like confusing mechanics the shit out of it. Like, will they Guilty Gear the shit out of Marvel? Or will, because it's a Dragon Ball Z franchise, will they try and appeal to a wider audience?
Right. I think they will. Because last time it was with the Persona games, right?
Yeah.
And the Persona games are an RPG audience.
They had auto combos and stuff, yeah.
And they made things, I'm not going to say simplified, but a lot more approachable.
The thing with the Persona 4 games as well, especially the arcade release, which we didn't get in North America, is that they had this, like, simple layer on top. Like, you could do cool stuff if you haven't played the game before, but if you wanted to do super cool stuff, you still had the deep fighting game mechanics.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because, like, usually the fighting games are like, this is really simple and everyone can do everything, or this is super hard and you got to put in hundreds of hours. Right, and the Persona 4 fighting game is really one of the only games I can think of that really struck that balance.
You think they're going to go back to the MVC1 days where you select your characters and then it goes control style, manual, or easy?
Oh, maybe. Well, they had that in Marvel 3 as well. They had a normal and simple.
Yeah.
So, for a versus game, I don't see why not.
Yeah. Because they used to, I know it's normal and simple, but back then they used to have like 3 tiers, right?
Oh, I think
it was like
so.
Manual, advanced, and beginner.
I don't remember, and it bothers me because this game store I go to has an arcade, and they have that machine there, and I just recently played it.
I know. Marvel versus
Is Marvel it, Superheroes?
Marvel versus Street Fighter has it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the one I remember.
But that game looks hot.
Yeah,
I can't wait. They showed all of the super moves, and I don't know how that system does it. Just to their graphical system to make 3D models look so beautiful 2D,
it's so
even
good.
While it's panning around the model.
Yeah,
it's just, man, it looks pretty sick.
As someone who's not into fighting games, I'm super looking forward to this.
Yeah. There was a couple other games that was shown before the next big gameplay reveal, which is The Last Night, which is that pixel neon game. They didn't really show what it really is, but I thought it had a pretty cool art style.
Yeah.
It had like a mix of kind of blocky pixel art for the characters and then high-res models for the backgrounds and stuff. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. They showed Code Vein again.
It was a trailer we've seen.
It was the trailer we've seen before. Anime Dark Souls. I'm still torn on that art style.
Yeah.
Because it's like, here's this dark and gritty like cavern, but the boss here is a white-haired pigtailed anime girl with huge tits, and I'm like, I don't know,
I'm into it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you? All right. Probably my third favorite announcement is, or not announcement, but gameplay trailer, Sea of Thieves.
This game looks so cool.
I don't know where you want to start with this. Like, where do you
You are a pirate, and you do all the cool pirate things that you imagine. You go searching
for booty.
Yeah. You go to different islands, you fight other pirates. You
fight sharks.
Yeah, alligators. You go fight the undead guarding the booty.
Yeah, legendary treasure.
Yeah.
It seemed, like, awesome.
Yeah.
The one scene at the end I did not expect is when you load yourself into the cannon.
Oh, yes.
And this guy just quad kills the other team.
Yeah. Sword fights, and then he shoots them with his pistol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That game looks really fun.
Sure does.
Yeah. And I like the tone that they went for, like, especially with the announcer that was narrating the whole thing.
Yeah.
He hits a very meta knowledge on gameplay culture and stuff like that. It was pretty cool.
Sure was.
After that, they showed a quick trailer for Cuphead. Cuphead, I feel, has been shown forever now.
Yeah.
I just want to be released, but they did have a release date, which is September 29th.
Yep.
If you guys haven't seen Cuphead, go check out a trailer because it's really beautiful, like Looney Tunes, old, like Steamboat Mickey type of art style. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
After that, they showed a trailer for Crackdown 3.
They did.
With Terry Crews.
Uh-huh.
He's chilling.
Yeah.
Did you play Crackdown 1 and 2?
I played 1.
You played 1, so did I. I played a little bit of 2, and it wasn't that good.
Yeah.
Did you like? But you liked Crackdown 1?
It was fun. I mean, I never latched onto it like a lot of people did, though.
Okay. I recently played through it with a friend using System Link, and I still think that game's pretty fun, just as a co-op experience. But for Crackdown 3, I'm more interested in this game from a technical standpoint than anything. Just because of their whole cloud computing system that they have going on with their multiplayer.
Yep.
I want to see if that will work as well as they advertise. And if you... The added layer now is if you have someone with an Xbox One X, will that one work better? Or will they be able to take more of a load on the cloud computing than someone else? Right?
Sure.
But the idea of fully destructible world in multiplayer sounds pretty fun to me, at least. After that, we had a trailer for a Life is Strange prequel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So a new Life is Strange game. I guess that's really all you can say on that.
Well, it's the setting.
Yeah.
Who is it based around, and then the character it's based around. I just don't know if I really care to know that story.
It was a cool mystery
when
it was played out in the first game.
Yeah, and I kind of wish it just stays that way.
Yeah, I don't think it needs it. I'm still kind of excited. Like, if they make a good one, like, I won't, like, shy away from playing it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it needed a prequel or another game.
It's only 3 episodes, though, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
The next after that, let's keep going through this, Shadow of War.
Yeah.
The new game. They showed more of that. They didn't show anything really that new. It is new gameplay, but that one... giant like gameplay explanation trailer that came out a couple months ago
covered all
kind of covered all of it. So it's got orcs, it's got weapons, it's got all that stuff. Then they had another world exclusive piano.
Yeah.
They showed a world exclusive piano.
Yeah.
And then it was actually a new Ori and the Blind Forest game, which is Ori and the Will of the Wisps, I think.
Yeah, Will of the Wisps.
Yeah. And I never played the original, so.
Same.
After that, it's kind of nearing the end of the show. They were like, oh, hey, fans, you know how you really like that backwards compatibility stuff?
Yeah.
What if we went even further?
Oh, no.
And they have now are going to try and have original Xbox backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
They are working on... Oh, what was the game they announced for this? Crimson Skies.
Yeah.
If I didn't buy that game like a couple months ago, I would have completely forgot about it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's still pretty good. But I didn't realize that this backwards compatibility thing isn't just, hey, we changed the software so I can play the disc. It is, you put in your disc, it validates it, and then you download an up-resed version.
Yeah. That's why it takes so long for them to do BC, because what they're doing is they're essentially rebuilding the game to match the architecture of the current
system. They're doing like free remasters, I guess?
That's nuts.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, so like when you put in Lost Odyssey, you put in each disc, but then you get a one.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is there any original Xbox games that you would want remastered that you can think of?
Off the top of my head?
Yeah.
Just the Soul Calibur edition with Spawn. That's it.
Okay. Not like the old Dead or Alives.
No. I can't think of anything on the original Xbox.
For me, it's I want to up-res Jet Set Radio Future.
Yeah, okay.
That or Panzer Dragoon Orta.
Oh, yes, I would like that.
Yeah. Did you just play Otogi Myth of Demons?
No.
That was really fun. That was a From Software game. There's a couple things, like, if they could get the Xbox version of Fatal Frame 2 or Silent Hill 2, that would be pretty fun. The original Xbox had, like, its fun first-party exclusives, but it was really a Halo machine.
Yeah, it was Halo, and they had what was the racing game back then with Kudos?
Oh,
Gotham?
Yes, Project Gotham Racing.
That was what I remember the Xbox being.
Okay. Yeah, Project Gotham Racing.
And Fusion Frenzy.
Bill Gates' favorite game, Fusion Frenzy.
Yeah.
Please don't up-res Fusion Frenzy.
That's next on the list.
God damn it. And then we start getting into the two biggest announcements. So going back to the Xbox One X.
Yeah.
Or as I like to call it, the Xbox. They announced price. It's $499 USDs.
Yep.
And as someone on Twitter pointed out to me, that is actually the same price as it was, as the day one Xbox One was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're definitely selling the system at a loss.
Yeah.
There is no way they're making money off of the sales of the system. It is most definitely a loss leader price. Do you think that's...
I still think that's too much.
You still think it's too much?
Yeah.
Because in Canada, it's like six something, right?
No, let me put it this way. The Xbox One S, the entry level one.
Yeah.
Is $250.
That's pretty low.
That's half the price.
But does this have more than half or close to double the power of the one?
Yeah, but I don't know if you could quantify it like that. Because, at least with the PlayStation, you could be like, it's $300. But if you want that little bit more, here's an extra $100.
Okay.
With the Xbox, it's like, it's $250. And like, even though that's not an insignificant amount of money, it's still like, well, that's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, you want a bit more power? Pay double. Like,
okay.
You put the argument that way, it's just like, no.
There's also the thing of, like, they keep saying that if you have an Xbox One, like, don't worry. You just won't be able to play in 4K, but that doesn't mean your games will run at, like, a lower frame rate.
Yeah.
Right? It's still going to be either minimum locked 30,
yeah,
or it's going to be running at 60, 1080, right? Yeah. So that's not really a good selling point for that. It's like, hey, it's kind of the same thing that happened with the new 3DS, right? They're like, here's a new 3DS. It's got a double analog stick. It's got more power and stuff. And we made one exclusive game for it, right? Yeah. You can't really split your audience like that. So yeah, when you phrase it that way, it does make it a little more kind of like why should I buy this kind of
a mentality. And the thing you have to remember is the original Xbox launched with the Kinect. That's why it was $500.
Oh, it did. Yeah, it did launch with the Kinect.
Because without it, it's $4, right?
Yeah, and this one doesn't come with a Kinect, and it doesn't come with a Pro controller. Or, sorry, the
Elite controller. Elite controller. Which is what would have got me to buy it.
Yeah, that would have been pretty great.
Yeah.
So yeah, $499 USDs. And after that, they showed the Destiny Killer.
Yes. So I'm surprised at how... So I was super hyped for this game.
Yeah.
As you guys may have heard on the previous podcast, the EA conference. Mm-hmm. But man, seeing... Jeez, this game looked even better than I could have thought it would.
You're Iron Man.
Yeah.
You can mix and match Iron Man suits.
Yeah.
Or this is like custom Robo, but yeah, like taken to the extreme.
Wow.
It's third person.
Thank you. If you're gonna make a game with loot, where your loot and your looking cool matters, I want to see that.
Okay, which I think I totally agree is an important pick.
Yeah.
What else is there? Just I think the thing that surprised me the most is the start. It's like, oh, you got that mortar. Oh yeah, I got it last weekend. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
They have that fake video game banter talk.
Yeah.
But then immediately after that is just jetpacks, and you're just flying around the world. Yeah. Like everything is very vertical.
Yeah. It's so cool.
It's really cool. You have different, like, everyone has different power-ups based on your loadouts.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really clear if your loadout is determined by a class you choose,
mm-hmm,
or if it is strictly just like, here is your robot, do what you will, right? And spec in a certain direction.
It's going to have certain class, like the main frame of your robot is going to be what determines your,
like, here's your class frame.
Yeah, I can't imagine they'll let you go open, just because that would create, like, why would you be in a team that would have
I think that would also create a lot of balancing issues as well, because if you could just mix, like, assassinate as a tank,
and then everybody would just be the same at the end of the game, right?
Because
you'd all want to look for the best build, but, like, having different frame classes, I think, is the best way to diverse it, so.
I think the thing I'm most excited about in this game is the sense of exploration.
Yeah.
I think the thing with Destiny was that these areas, while kind of wide, they felt very small.
Yeah.
Right? So when you go to Earth, when you go to the Moon, it's like, I know where everything is.
Yeah.
But with this game being so vertical...
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a part where she's like, okay, you go forward, I'll flank. And when they said flank, I thought she was going to go around.
Yeah.
But she goes under the water. She went
underwater.
Yeah.
And that stuff is really cool.
Yeah.
Right? You find, like, hidden cave entrances in places which have their own optional quests attached to them.
Yeah.
It's, like, sort of like Robot Skyrim, but multiplayer.
Mm.
Those are the kind of sense I was getting.
Yeah.
They were saving quests for later when they teamed up with their squad of four.
Oh, yes. Four.
Four people.
Wow.
There was the special moves. Like, dude launched his mortar, cleared the whole team. Then you had Iron Man lock on, shot all your little drones out, and they murdered everybody.
Yeah, they got special loot drops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ID them after you pick up their glowing orb or whatever.
Yeah.
The game just looked really good across the board.
Yeah, when they were they snuck up on that, like, group of, I forgot they were called, like, the
aliens.
Yeah. And the guy is the mortar, that was cool.
Yeah.
But then we're like, oh shit, backup's coming, and then she's like, I got this.
Don't worry.
And she just locked on to all of them. I was like, what?
There's also the fact they took down, or I don't know if this was like a story event or whatever, but there's a giant walker.
Yeah.
It's like roaming through the forest, right? Yeah. And when that thing was taken down, it destroyed a bunch of the environment.
Yeah.
Same thing with that mortar.
Yeah.
When they launched the mortar, it created, like, Red Faction hole in the ground.
Yeah.
Right? So I wonder if the environments will be destructible, or if those are, like, set pieces.
Right.
Right?
For sure.
Even if they're not destructible, like, man, that game looked hot.
Yeah, it sure did.
Important
to note, it is not an Xbox exclusive.
It is not. And then... that was the end of it, pretty much. They had the clip show at the end. They showed everything again.
Yeah.
So I guess overall, like, what were your favorite? Like, give me, like, your top three showings out of this conference, and then maybe give it a rating.
Probably, like, Anthem's one.
Okay.
That Dragon Ball game.
Yeah.
And then I guess it's a toss up from there. Either the Sea of Thieves is pretty cool. I'm always hyped for a new Forza, so that's fun. But yeah, no, I really liked it. It reminds me, though, of how Microsoft has been progressing for these past couple of years, where they just show game after game after game, and mm-hmm. it's like a solid entry or a solid pace, and you're like, there are moments with real highlights, but at the same time, you're like, ah, I gotta cool off, because it's like, as cool as Anthem was,
yep.
it's not an exclusive title, and what I mean by that is, they didn't show me one reason why I should be buying the new Xbox.
They showed you the new Xbox version.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that, like, the PlayStation 4 or regular Xbox One.
Yeah, because, like, bad. Truth be told, I'll probably just buy it on the PlayStation 4. Like, this awesome game that I saw at the Microsoft conference.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that was the biggest disappointment for me. Like, I want to get the new Xbox, but I don't have a reason to get the new Xbox. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But otherwise, as far as games are concerned, it looks like a pretty solid lineup. In terms of exclusivity, I don't think there's many things. I think the only thing that I'm really hoping to play is PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Mm-hmm. But that's only because I don't have a PC.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in the same boat as you.
Yeah.
My top three favorite or most excited about announcements are Dragon Ball Z at number one.
Yeah.
What's the? I already forgot the Destiny clone game.
Anthem?
Anthem at number two, and Shadow of War at number three.
Yeah.
And none of those games are console exclusive.
Yeah.
Right? So you have this really powerful system, and all the tech sounds really cool.
Yeah.
But when I think about, like, back at home at my home console setup, I haven't turned on my Xbox in a long time.
Yeah.
And I think I have a total of 5 games for the Xbox One.
Yeah.
I have Sunset Overdrive Digital, because it came with my Xbox. I have the Halo Collection.
Yeah.
I have Halo 5.
Yeah.
I have Fighter Within. It's like a Kinect game.
Okay.
It's really bad. It was $1.
Hmm.
And I have the Rare Collection.
I see.
Rare Replay.
Yeah.
Right? And two of those are compilations of older games. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think Microsoft just didn't have a big first-party title to wow me and be like, yes.
Do you think probably Gamescom time for that kind of stuff, or
probably,
or do you even think they have something in?
I'm sure they do, but it's too far out to show.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, like I was surprised we didn't even get a hint at the next Halo,
right?
Yeah,
like not a Cortana,
anything. And I'm just like, wow, if they can't even show that, like, is there anything that they're doing first party that's gonna get me to to be like, yes, you need to buy this Xbox again.
Do it all over again.
Yeah.
So I'm in the same thing. I think that the conference overall was pretty strong.
Yeah.
And like fun to watch.
Yeah.
But when you kind of like lean back, like, and think about it,
yeah,
it's like a lot of that stuff wasn't console exclusive, and so it doesn't really push that Xbox brand in any forward direction, right? It kind of just keeps it where it is. But they got a cool shiny new box.
Totally. That's how I feel about it too. Awesome. I think that's our thoughts on Microsoft.
Yep.
Yeah. Next up is Bethesda, so stay tuned for that. What are you hoping for from Bethesda?
I don't want to hear about their MMO, Elder Scrolls MMO.
Okay.
From Bethesda, though, they've been doing some really interesting stuff with, like, Doom.
Yeah.
And, like, their revitalizations of old IPs.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they do try and go back to the well, maybe like a new Wolfenstein would be fun, because I went to Wolfenstein the New Order last year, and I think that game's fantastic.
Okay.
So maybe something more single player focused rather than here's my Elder Scrolls multiplayer game.
I see. Cool. I'm hoping for a sci-fi version of a game in the vein of Skyrim or Fallout 4.
Okay.
That's what I want. But it's probably going to be Elder Scrolls 5.
What if you have Fallout, but it's like...
Or Elder Scrolls 6.
Space.
But I don't want it to be Fallout.
What if it's Elder Scrolls in space?
You know what? Fuck it. I want a new engine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You just want to see tech? You want to see hot tech?
I don't want this janky bullshit we get from the Bethesda games anymore.
Okay.
I want to be like, oh, see this? It works. It's clean.
Look at this. It looks so nice.
And then they make the sci-fi RPG that's like, look, none of this is dirty. It's all shiny.
Shiny and new in space. All right. But then they got the one section that's space truck in.
Oh, God. We don't talk about that.
Yeah, all right. We don't talk about space truck in. So, yeah, look forward to that coming to your ears soon.
Bye.